Most of you know that my tradition as of recent is having some students and former students come up and open for me before the sermon. Juwan is the gentleman who's going to open this week. And come on up, Juwan. And so, yeah, I thought, he looks like this. If I get up here in my normal attire, no one is going to take me seriously afterwards. So I figured I might as well wear a tie. You look like GQ. I look like a country GQ. So there'd be like a CQ maybe. But Juwan is as fine a young man as you will ever meet. He's actually one of the best preachers I think I've ever heard. He's very good. Don't get a big head. And no pressure, you know.
It's there already.
Yeah, it's there already. Yeah. Your heart is pounding. I asked Nick last time, and I asked Juwan today. I said, "Are you nervous?" And they said, "Yes." And I said, "Good." Anytime you share the Word of God, you should be nervous. I mean, this is a serious thing. But Juwan, one of the many impressive things about Juwan is that he is not afraid to stand up for his faith, and he's not afraid to tell other people when they're not living the way they should. He was definitely what I thought was the epitome of a light should be in our academy last year before he graduated. He graduated last year. This is his first year in college. But Juwan was definitely a guy that I think a lot of other students should esteem to be like. I'm sure many of the teachers would say that. So without further ado, I'll be up afterwards. You're on.
Good morning, everybody. Today I'm going to be teaching on leaving a legacy. Well, I'll give a little background of who I am. Mr. B did a pretty good job of that, too. I'm 19 years old. I got saved at the age of 14. Wasn't anything dramatic. It's just kind of in my room one day, and I was taking some time and was thinking about stuff, and everything kind of clicked. I've been in church all my life, so I knew everything, how workings, ins and out were going. But finally one day I was just praying, and it kind of was like, you know, I understand what this means and how I should live my life. So for today, I want to just give a little thanks to Mr. Rosio. For my senior speech, I had a list of different teachers that I wanted to talk about, but I left it at home, and I forgot Mr. Rosio, and I felt so bad. So I just want to give Mr. Rosio a little thanks today. As seniors, he gives us this list of different things that he wants us to think about. In it, he talks about we should keep his room clean, not putting things up on the lockers. But most important thing that he put on there, he had a paragraph about leaving a legacy. And I'll read it later on, but when he gave this to us, I read it for 2 weeks every day in the morning. I just come in after we have our prayer in the morning. I just sit down and read it. For some reason, it just kind of stuck with me, and I just felt like it was just talking to me. So I just want to thank Mr. Rosio, because that was the main reason that I actually started speaking in school and kind of standing up and not being afraid to actually say something to my classmates. So but I'm going to start now. Proverbs 10:7 says, "The memories of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot." Just the main thing is, how are people going to remember you when you leave this earth? Are they going to remember you as a person that was constantly doing the Word of God or doing what God asked them to do? Or were you a person that, you know, is giving everybody else a hard time? You're not kind. You're selfish. You know, you're just one of those people that people just can't get along with because you don't have the heart of God. I'm going to be talking about three main people that kind of that I guess really works for me about leaving legacy: parents, teachers, and kids. So first, I'm going to start off with parents. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Be imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ." That was Paul speaking to the Corinthians, and many times when he's speaking in he's writing the epistles and he's giving it out to the different churches, he's always telling them, "Follow me, do as I do." And as parents, kids, we're watching and learning from everything you do, whether it's positive or negative. So as a parent, it's just really important to pay attention to the things that you say to us, the things that you do, because we're watching and we're learning. And we're going to either learn in a positive way or we're going to learn in a negative way. I kind of came up with this little acronym. Pretty proud of it. Have you dealt with your child's needs? DELT being the acronym. First letter, D, stands for discipline. The second letter, E, stands for encouragement. The third letter, A, stands for acceptance. The fourth letter, L, stands for love. And the fifth letter, T, stands for teach. Discipline. Proverbs 13:24, I'll turn to it. Proverbs 13. In this, it just says, "He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently." I just kind of like that ending part, diligently. Like, it's not just a sometimes thing, but whenever they start messing up, you got to put us back in line. It has to be there. If we're not, if there's no discipline, the chances of us doing what we're supposed to do become slimmer and slimmer and slimmer, because we need that correction. As kids, we need to know that, you know, this is what we're supposed to do and this is what we're not supposed to do. Even if we kick and scream and say, you know, "I'm so tired of my parents," when we grow up, when we get older, we'll thank our parents that, you know, they actually gave us the things that we needed to succeed in life, to actually live a Christian life. E for encouragement, Ephesians 4:29. It says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so it will give grace to those who hear." As kids, I know pretty much probably every kid at one point probably was bullied, or someone has just said something that just stuck to them, even though it probably wasn't intended to be like that. And it's just important for the parents to constantly be that positive impact to them. So you might come home from school and you might not know that there's something wrong going on, but you just being there for them and just saying, you know, encouraging words to them, it lifts your spirit every time. And so it's just important that the parents are there to say those wholesome words to us for the moment. You might not know when that moment is, but that could be the moment. That could be the moment that the child needed, and you were there and you said those encouraging words. Acceptance is the next one. Psalms 18:10. It says, oh, that's not the right verse. Sorry, forget that verse. I'm just going to say it. And it talks about the righteous go into the tower of God and they are safe. So in that verse, it just reminds me of how home should be as a child. You should be able to come home and you should feel like your parents want you. You have, like, they want you to be there, not like they don't want you. Like, when you come home, that should be your place of protection, and you should feel like you belong there whenever you come home. And so that's why I feel that how that verse kind of spoke to me a little bit. Like, you know, when you come home, mom and dad should be there and should be the people that are like, you know, "Hi, son," or "Hi, daughter, you're here." You know, they're glad that you're here. Whereas in school, sometimes they might not get that. The fourth one, love. 1 Corinthians 13:4. It says, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, and is not arrogant. I want to focus on the patient part. As parents, I know sometimes kids and us are a headache, but just be patient with us. That's one thing that I learned from my parents is, you know, patience, having patience with your kids, giving them second chances. And it reminds me of and just like little sacrificial things that you do for your kids. Like my little brother, Zephaniah, every time he always wants the last piece of whatever it is, any type of food, any food, any drink, he wants the last of it. And all the time. And so mom has a sandwich or something, she's got like the last piece. And Zuki's like, oh, mom, can I have the last piece? And he's like, yeah, go ahead, you can have the last piece. Oh, he's so excited, he's just loving it. He's got the last piece. Just like little sacrificial things just shows the love for your child. And like it can be this much left of juice at the bottom of the bottom of the bottle. You just say, Zuki, oh, can I have the last piece? Can I have the rest of that? Yeah, Zuki, go ahead, you can have it. Thank you. Oh. And it's just like a little sip, but he loves it. And it's just like, show him a little love for him, you know? Show him that you love him. Teach is the last one. Teaching your child is also very important. Just teaching us, not just in your actions, but also in your words. I know sometimes a lot of kids don't hear that from their parents. Their parents don't, like, verbally teach them things. It's just, you know, hi, son, hi, kid, you know, just going about your day. There's no actual time when the parent actually sits down and speaks to the child and tells him the word of God and actually gives him the things that he needs verbally. That's just as important as it is showing the child. Because sometimes you might be trying to show the child, but they don't see it. They need to hear that from you verbally. If you're going to expect something out of your kid, expect what you put inside of them. If you don't put anything inside the kid and you're expecting that child to become this great Christian person, but you put nothing in them, like, they're young, we're learning, and the only way we can learn is from you, is from the things that you tell us. And Proverbs 4, 1 through 7, turn there. Solomon is talking about how David gave him instruction. Hear, O son, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. I just like that, how Solomon was remembering how David spoke these things to him. He taught him this. He didn't just, you know, sometimes parents just rely on the fact that they send their kid to a Christian school, which is good that you send the kid to the Christian school, but we also need to hear it from mom and dad. Mom and dad is just as important as it is teachers, and I think it's more important to hear it from your parents than it is from your teachers. So I think next we'll move on to the teachers. I put teachers, grandparents, aunts, uncles, all in this, because they have an effect, but they don't have the same amount of effect as the parents do. It says, for teachers, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as much as we will incur a stricter judgment. That verse always kind of scares me a little bit. I feel bad for the teachers. You just get a stricter judgment than everybody else, and it's just makes me realize how important it is when you're a teacher to pay attention to the things that you say, because, you know, you incur a stricter judgment. And as teachers, it kind of reminds me, it makes me think of, you're like planters of seeds, like, constantly. So the things that you say are always being dropped into our minds. It's just this constant planting inside of us. It says, Ephesians 4:14, as a result, we are no longer to be as children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. It's just interesting that Paul said it like that, because that's how kids are. Like, when you introduce us to something, we want to believe it instantly, because it's the teacher. The teacher said so, you know? And they're going to listen. And the thing about being a teacher or a grandparent or aunts and uncles, sometimes the child will tell you things that they won't tell the parents. They're afraid to tell their parents. They feel like maybe they'll get this result that they don't want to have from their parents. So they tell you. And so it's just important as a teacher or any of those other things to be ready to give something to that child to make that impact that they need. It says, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things are edifying. There's just one thing that I don't know. I just don't like it. But when like a teacher or a youth group leader, when a kid asks about a gray area subject that the Bible doesn't give specifics on, and then the teacher or the youth group leader does this thing, they say, "Well, the Bible doesn't really say, but I do it, and so the Bible doesn't really say, but and then that's it." It's just like, no, don't say that. When you do that, it's like instant legalization that this is okay. It's a gray area subject, and it's something that the child has to understand before they go into this area. And so just pointing that out there, like, you know, it's gray area, but I do it. And the kid's like, oh, well, they do it, so why can't I, you know? So I like how Mr. B, when I was still in school in Bible class, when a kid would raise their hand and ask something like a gray area subject about something that the Bible doesn't make specifically clear, he would tell the kids, well, first of all, you want to think about how it appears before both God and man. Like, how does that make you look, like, as a Christian? Does that make you, are you, like, now identifying, does your identification now look like the world, or are you still looking like Christ? So you just have to be careful, and explains to the kids, you know, this is something that you don't just go into. This is something that you have to pray about before you go in and do this gray area subject. It's not something that you can just, you know, well, one day you see this friend doing it. I wonder if I can do that. I'll pray about it. Dear Lord, is this okay? All right, I'm doing it. You know, it's something. It takes time. You have to think about this, and it has to be something between you and God. Is this going to help me in my walk with God? Is this edifying, or is this going to become a hindrance? Is this going to be something that's like, you know, that's not even going to help me? It's just, if anything, lead me away from it. Says Titus 2:12-15. It says, instruct us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. It's just like a reminder. It's just extremely important as a teacher or a grandparent or aunts and uncles. You might not have the same effect as the parents do, but your effect is just as important. So when you're when the kid is asking you questions and maybe you don't know, but come back and give those kids those answers, help them out, because they need it. They're looking for it from you. If they're not going to get it from you, they're getting it from the world, and the world doesn't have the answers. Those answers are incorrect every time. And so if they're not getting it from you, the only other place that they're going to be able to turn is to the world. So it's important as grandparents, teachers, and aunts and uncles to give us that information when we come to you, when you ask you something that we don't want to ask our parents or we're afraid to ask our parents, that you're there to help us and guide us too. And lastly, talk about kids. Just us in general. It says in Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Kids, just listen to your parents. Obedience, that's the best way to show your parents you love them. That's the easiest way to show it as well. When they ask you to do something, don't give them a hard time. Just listen. I guess that was something that was a little easier for me, I guess, than most teenage kids. I guess I learned at a young age that if you listen to your mom and dad, things go well. it's just something that is like, you know, you watch everybody else. Everybody's over there not listening and getting in trouble. Things are getting cut off. Things are getting taken away. I just sit there and look at all the other kids like, why are you doing that? You know what's going to happen if you do that. Why do it? It's just something that I guess I just learned that early, I guess, earlier than most kids. I don't know. But when parents give you something, they're not out there to get you and to ruin your fun. They're there to protect you and to make sure that, you know, they're putting you on the right path or they're putting you in the place that you need to go. It says, Proverbs 19:20, listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Accepting discipline, that's just rough. That's rough. It is. It's hard. Especially when you know you're wrong. You know you did something wrong and you get corrected and it's just like, okay, I know I did it wrong. But it's still good that they said something to you and said, hey, look, don't do that. Take the discipline that you're getting from your parents. Utilize it. Use it and show other kids. You can be an example to other kids. Just from the fact that, you know, maybe you got disciplined here, learn from that. Show other kids, you know, be that example and show them that, hey, you know, I learned about this. You know, this I learned last time. Don't do it. I'm telling you, don't do it. I learned already. And if they want to listen, then they'll listen. If not, move on, you know. But keep being that light to your classmates, to other students in school. Proverbs 23 to 26. Turn to that one. Sorry, Mr. B. I think I'm going longer than I expected. I knew this was going to happen. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Proverbs 23:23-26. It says, buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Just be a joy to your parents. You know, actually do what they tell you to do. Do what they ask you to do. You know, it's encouraging for parents to see parents and teachers and other people to see young people doing the will of God, doing what they're supposed to do. And it's good to be that example. And, you know, you can be that encouragement to the parent. Just as much as the parents encourage you, you can encourage them just by showing, like, maybe they have a rough spot. They're going through something. And they see you. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And it's good. And they see that. You know, it's encouraging to see other people doing what they're supposed to do. It helps you in your walk. And just listen. That's the main thing. Listen. Just be obedient. The good thing about having Christian parents is that you don't have to worry about them doing stuff on purpose just to make you mad. They're not going to do that. They're Christians. That's not what Christian parents do. They're always there to look out for you. They're always there to show you what you need to do, show you where you need to go. And so just be obedient to them. Ending, I guess, the little thing that Mr. Rosedale gave me. Oh, yeah, it was kind of funny. I was reading it every day for 2 weeks, and then I lost it. That's what kind of ended that. I lost it. Mr. Rosio knows I'm not too good with keeping up with papers and stuff. But I lost that little paper, and I was real disappointed. I'm like, oh, man, that was my little motivation slip. It's gone. But and then I found it again towards the middle of the year, and it was just like spark, hit that spark again. It was like, yes, this is exactly what I needed. And I didn't read it every day, but I read it at least 3-4 times a week. I just read it, and it was just, I don't know, just like the words would just keep getting in me and just keep going in deeper and deeper and deeper until I finally was like, you know what? I think it's about time for me to say something. I'm feeling it. And so I finally went in school, and I said a couple of things in chapel and things like that. But so just the main thing is, what are you leaving behind for your kids or for other people to see? Like, what example did you set for the other people around you to see how you've lived your life? A legacy is a lifetime thing, and you can change it. If you're not doing it right now, you can change it. You still have breath. You can change it. So it's not something that, you know, okay, you did wrong back here, but you can change it now. It's not something that ends. It doesn't end until you die. So change that if it needs to be changed. If you're doing well, keep doing it. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. Stay in the Word of God. Stay doing what God asked you to do. So I kind of altered this a little bit. I kind of made it so it applied to just an everyday thing. Mr. Rosio kind of wrote this so it would apply to seniors and in the seniors' day-to-day life. I kind of switched everything up a little bit so it would just apply to everyday life. When I read it, it kind of reminded me of just an everyday lifestyle that should be lived, not just in school, but just an everyday lifestyle. Bear with me because I had to try to fit the words right in between these little lines. I don't know why I didn't retype it, but it's just so this is what Mr. Rosio, or altered what Mr. Rosio wrote to us. He says, you only get to do this once, so get your money's worth and make your presence felt. In this life, you should be the leaders of this world spiritually, speaking Christians. Lay a foundation for your life and for those to come, because the question of what you want to do must be answered, but more importantly, who you are going to be. The key question you need to be able to answer by the time you leave this earth, what is the point of my life? While you are here, God needs us to lead. In the absence of leadership, folly will flourish. Christians should be the best exhibition of maturity and wisdom, utilizing the things they have learned from Christ. This is a one and only lifetime you will live, so you should do something productive with it. Set an example for Christians and non-Christians. They will be watching you, so carefully monitor your actions, words, attitudes, and work habits. Leaders need to emerge. Some of you may need to take a more vocal approach in your leadership than you have to this point. Generally, for better or for worse, the reputation of Christianity is shaped by its most vocal members. Guard your tongues, be kind, and think before you talk. You will set the tone for Christianity in conversation, dress code, and among other things. Be on time. Be diligent in your work, always doing whatever it takes to do your best. Be respectful to others. Avoid folly. Be willing to give and to receive godly correction. Be generous with your time. Give godly advice. Forge some relationships with less mature Christians. Try to make a substantial positive impact on at least one person so that you will still have an impact on the world after you are gone. I encourage you to pray for our country, each other, and for other people, and I encourage you to take an active role in the lives of others when you have an opportunity. Do not get so focused on where you are going in the future that you neglect the responsibilities that you have here in the present. Be unselfish. Do not focus on what people can do for you because you are a big-shot Christian. Focus on what you can do to serve other people. We are all members. We are all remembered individually for something. You have a full. You have a lifetime to shape your reputation. So think about what you would like it to be, and then do something about it. It is up to you to do something with your life. I encourage you to seek God every day and for His will for you. Pray about your life and your future and the future of your life. I plan to, and hopefully this life will be your best for you. You will never get a chance to do this again. So just like an overview again, just what are you leaving for everybody else to see? Like the things that you said, the things that you've done, what have you left for other people to see? That example that you set for us as kids, or the example that you set for on the work job for other people, are they going to be able to see your light like Mr. Kosick was talking about? Are they going to be able to see who you are? Is that lifestyle that you come to church and say, or you like to say, are you actually doing it? Is it something that's actually a part of your life? So, that's about it. Done.
Great job, Juwan. Two things I was thinking while he was speaking. What I always try to tell the students is, it's so funny because in America, we all want to stand out. We all want to be so different, we end up looking the same. It's like, how can I be different? Let me dress all in black. Yeah, I'm going to do that too. It's a great idea. And everybody dresses black. Then all of a sudden, we have a bunch of American people dressing all in black to be different. What can I be different? Let me color my hair purple. Yeah. I'm going to color my hair purple. And then all these people color their hair purple. In America, we want to be different so badly that we all end up being the same. The greatest way to stand out is live a righteous life. That will always and forever cause you to stand out from everyone else. Because in a righteous life, you don't use perversity. You don't speak like the world. You don't swear like the world. You don't put each other down. In a righteous life, we have character. We have integrity. There's no lying. You can be trusted. You're the best worker. A righteous life is the way to stand out. And we were meant to shine. I mean, that's the whole point in Matthew chapter 5, when we're supposed to be salt and we're supposed to be light. I mean, light is meant to shine. Light is useless if it's flickering and if it's dying out. It can be snuffed out very easily. We were meant to shine. That, as Christians, that's what we were meant to do. The second thing I was thinking of when Juwan was speaking was the gray areas in life. I'm a big proponent that if there's a gray area in life, color it black and stay away from it. I would soon rather face God having missed out on certain things in my life than facing God and having embraced things in my life that I may have enjoyed, but yet disappointed Him. So for me, that's always the way I think. I mean, you can always be safe. I mean, God's not going to say, oh, you could have done that. You could have had that kind of fun. It would have been okay. That's not the way God would have worked. God's not going to say, you know what, you could have been, I don't know why you were so strict. I don't know why you live such a good Christian life. Like, none of these things, you could have had a lot more fun in your lifetime. God's never going to be disappointed in the fact that we didn't have enough fun in our life. But those are probably the two things I was thinking of when Juwan was up here. I'm not going to preach because, quite frankly, I don't think it's necessary. I think he did a great job, and I think that we could all gather a lot from what he said, whether you're a child, whether you are a teacher, whether you're a grandparent, aunt, uncle, or parent, whether you're a Christian. I think there were some great principles in what he said. But those were the two things I think that sort of jumped out at me that you were saying. You know, everyone wants to be different. You know, everyone, if you want to stand out in life, live righteously. It's not difficult. Even in a Christian school, you would think like, oh, well, everyone lives like that. Not necessarily. If you live a righteous life and you're not ashamed to stand up for Jesus Christ, you will actually stand out in a Christian academy. Maybe the gap won't be quite as large, and the average will be a little bit different. The grading curve will be slightly different. But even in any kind of environment, if you live for Christ, you will stand out. It's inevitable. Righteousness is a game changer. It just is. It's also an attractive quality that even if people don't necessarily like you, many times they will respect you. Because you will be forced into living a life of character and a life of integrity. And then also, as far as the gray areas go, like I completely agree with Juwan. There's a lot of things in our life that may be acceptable for me that aren't acceptable for you. There's a lot of things that may be acceptable for you and not for me. But we're never in danger of disappointing God if we stay away from them. And I try to make it a habit, as I think we all should, in not disappointing God, because we are his children. And just like I could be disappointed in my child if I find out that they cheated on a test or treated someone inappropriately, I still love them. They're still my child, and I love them dearly and I desperately, and I'm always there for them. But I can be disappointed. And I think there are times in our life where we just blatantly choose sin instead of the Lord. And I think at times it does disappoint him, because he has given us so much in his son that we were meant to shine. We were meant to shine and stand out. So I'm going to close with a word of prayer. And thank you again, Juwan. I thought you did a great job. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you have brought us all together. Father, regardless of where we go to church, regardless of where we live, regardless of what our destination is on the map or our location is on the map or on the grid, as Christians, you have knit us together as brothers and sisters. Regardless of the time that we lived, whether it was during the Renaissance, whether it was during the first century or now, we are brothers and sisters, and we should all have that same common goal. To please and honor and glorify you and be a pillar for the church, or be a pillar for the truth, and to present your gospel and your love and your son to a world that desperately needs it. Father, I just pray and I thank you for this ministry. I thank you for all those who attended today. I pray that they were as blessed as I was from what Juwan had to say and what Paul had to say. Thank you for all the work that he put into the lock-in. It was truly a wonderful time. I just ask that your words that were spoken through the pages of your scriptures, that they would minister to our hearts, that we would be a people who would live righteous lives to the extreme, even if that means that we have to forsake some things that we desire and we find pleasurable. I pray that we would live lives that would honor you, and that would be our first and foremost desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. We're out early today.